as we go through this evening, there's a legitimate question that often comes about. And the question is sometimes confusing, to say the least. Because if you take what God says in Romans chapter 13, it says, obey the laws of land. But then, I read with the apostles as they're giving the defense, says, we have to obey God rather than man. So which is it? What do we determine is truth? This evening we're going to be looking at what government makes legal. Making something legal doesn't make it right. Because when it comes down to it, what does God say? What does God teach? And that's something that we need to think about. As we had in the reading just a few moments ago, we discussed this very issue. In fact, we talked about that as it comes to Acts chapter 4, verse 18. They called them and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. So we see what we find here is we find an instruction not to teach, not to preach. In fact, we're going to look at a few examples like this, and then we're going to be looking at several examples in our personal lives today where God's law and man's law can contradict. What do we do? What should we look at? Because here, they were commanded by the authorities not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Now, during the first century, this is a problem. And now I'm glad we live in the extremes that we see in fact in ancient Rome, or even ancient Judea, where you had to really make these really hard decisions. But we will see that we will still face them today. Our nation is not the first nation to come about this. In fact, it states in Isaiah chapter 5, verses 20 through 23, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Some people do call evil good. And we find this in society even today. That we say, well, it's just not maybe that bad, or let's look at a different way. And we try to make something more rational or more appealing. And we're going to be looking at some examples of this later on as we go through this lesson. But we say it's not as bad. Well, God's law matters. As we also see in Daniel chapter 1, where again, civil law and God's law contradict. Young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, and the ability to serve in the king's palace, of whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, that they may at the end of that time might serve before the king. Here we find Daniel, we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're taken captive by Babylon. And we see that they're going to teach the language of the Chaldeans. We see that they're going to have the king's delicacies. Now it states in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. That would have been a very hard stand to make. Remember, Daniel was a foreigner. He was a stranger. He was a captive. He's not at his home, not his own government. And yet his life would have been on the line for disobeying. And he said, I don't overtake the king's delicacies because that will violate, violation of Jewish law. And you later on see in Daniel chapter 3, where we find Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits, and he set up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So Nebuchadnezzar sets this great image. Here's now another issue. Another problem. Now at that time you hear the sound of the horn, harp, the flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music. You shall fall down and worship the image that the king Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be immediately cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, what choice do you have? What choice should we make? Well, not everyone bowed. In fact, it states, goes on to in verses 12 and 13, there are certain Jews among you, you set over the affairs of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods nor worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. I would imagine they're scared to death. Their lives would be on the line. And now they had to go and stand before the king, saying why they had to disregard the king's directive. The king's authority. So as you continue, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Now that is a strong statement. Again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a difficult position, and they were having to say this in front of the king. That we will not bow down. The king Nebuchadnezzar is a powerful man. Of the most powerful kingdom in the world at this time. And King Nebuchadnezzar sets up an image made of gold in the plain of Dura and says, you must worship this image or you're cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have to explain why they're not willing to bow. Why they're disobeying the king's commands. So we find sometimes God's law and civil law differ. And we may say, that was back then. That's a long time ago. You know, you always hear sometimes, Bible's outdated. It doesn't mean anything. It's like, that was a long time ago. Guess what? Things have not changed. Things haven't changed a bit. Do you think there are laws today that are contrary to God's law? Yeah, there are. For instance, drinking. The Bible teaches, In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, "For we have spent enough time in time past, past lifetime, in doing the will of the Gentiles. We walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." Man's law is different from what God says. Man's law says, once you reach the age of 18, you can start drinking and drunkenness, and you can do all those things. And a lot of times we think of kids and drinking parties and that kind of thing. God's law differs. Does God's law say it's okay? You think about the results of drunkenness. You have drunk driving. That can happen. If you don't start drinking and getting drunk, drunk driving's not going to be an issue unless you get hit by a drunk driver. But drunk driving can cause death. You have the situation of broken homes. That can be a situation. You have an alcoholic parent. And this is historically accurate. If you have an alcoholic parent, you can have a broken home. You can have money wasted. I mean, sometimes it would not be cheap just to keep on buying alcohol. Now, granted, I cannot tell you, I'm not an expert about how much alcohol costs. I'm not an expert on that. But I'll tell you, I get behind the cashier or a person waiting at the cashier, and they are buying lottery tickets and they're buying alcohol, and it's just like their bill's ringing up. It's going higher and higher and higher. Think about the money that's wasted. Think about the situation about the corrupted manners. You think about this, and you also see this in the book of Psalms, Psalm 78, verse 65. You have shouts of wine. There's no manners. You find ruined spirituality, such as in Amos chapter 2, verse 12. You have many other examples. Drinking can be a problem. I don't see it being a solution. I see it being a problem. So what do we do when we see man's law conflict with God's law? What do we do? What do we decide? And that's something we need to think about. How about when it comes to gambling? Because, again, this is another issue that God's law and man's law contradict. They go against each other. What do we do? What do we decide to do? The Bible tells me and teaches me there are three different ways to gain money. And the three different ways would simply be, I can may give or receive a gift. And that's understandable. I always enjoyed it. I went to go see my grandparents. You probably have this experience as well. You go see your grandparents, and what does your grandfather give you? Gives you a dollar bill. I always appreciate those times. Especially when you're a little kid. You don't have money. But your grandfather gives you a dollar bill. I enjoyed seeing him. You can receive a gift. That's perfectly legit. That's talked about, for instance, in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. You can earn a wage, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. You can go out and work and get paid. The Bible talks about that. That a laborer is a worthy of his hire kind of issue, a situation. I can go out and get a job, and I can work and make a living and provide for myself and my household. I see that, and that's okay. I see where I can attain things through a fair exchange or maybe an investment, such as what's found in James chapter 4, verse 28. I see that as well. I see that I can invest. And it's like, what do we talk about? The parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. What were they expected to do? The one talent man, he went and hid it. And when the master came back, he says, why didn't you go and deposit this with the creditors so I can receive some interest off the money? But then called the one talent man a lazy servant because he didn't do anything with it. He went instead, hid it in the ground, buried it, didn't do a thing with it. It's okay to invest or exchange it for something else. We do it in everyday life. We exchange money for certain goods. As it talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, and these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into a foolish and harmful lust which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some have strayed from the faith and their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It doesn't say the love of money. It doesn't say the money is the root of all sorts. It's the love of it. We find a situation that we're talking about gambling. God's law says we can attain our money through work, through an exchange, through investment, that kind of thing. Civil law says, just gamble. Do what you want. You need to be careful about what God states. I don't need to be greedy for more. We're talking about covetousness, so I don't need to be covetous. There's nothing to be covetous about. So making it legal doesn't make it right. It's been a big issue down in Louisville, Kentucky about making gambling more legal with the riverboats. And that's been a long time ago. Adultery and divorce. Making it illegal doesn't make it right. Same thing. Divorce. 50 years ago, it was nearly impossible to get. Today, I can do it and get it done with a do-it-yourself legal kit. Legislators have suggested renewable licenses for married couples, which expires every 3 years. It's kind of a sad state of affairs. There's a, you think this is kind of odd? It's not. It's not at all. I remember when I lived in Budapest, Hungary. There was a situation that I was told about, which kind of blew my mind a little bit, about the situations like when you get married, if you are separated for a year or more, you are, marriage is dissolved by the federal government. Well, let me back that up. You mean you can get married, legally married, but if you separate for a year, the government will dissolve your marriage. So you don't have to get a lawyer to get a divorce. All you have to do is prove you're separated for a year and your marriage is dissolved. That's legal in Hungary. That's scary. And it's to think about that we have to renew our marriage license every 3 years is scary as well. Because marriage is considered, we can try it out, doesn't really matter. It does matter. Because why does it matter? What does the Bible talk about? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it talks about, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God designed marriage. It's not to be taken lightly. It's serious. The person you choose to marry is something, it's not you choose one day and then next day you decide, oh, I don't like that person. I think I'll find another person. It doesn't work that way. Because we'll also find, as it states in Matthew chapter 19, that marriage is for a lifetime. As it states in Matthew chapter 19, beginning of verse 3, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? He answered and said to him, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why did Moses command give a certificate of divorce and put her away? And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. I say to you, as Jesus is talking, I say to you that whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. God's law is very clear on the matter. Man's law says, it doesn't matter. You can marry whomever you want and then divorce for whatever reason you want. Man's law and God's law differ. And so even when it comes to marriage. So when we started out this lesson, we talked about some examples, like for instance with Daniel. And we saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We looked at the example of the Apostle Paul. We looked at the apostles. We looked at these situations where they had to make a choice. And we think, it's like, yeah, they had to make some difficult choices, but that was way back then. Way back when. It doesn't affect me today. Yes, it does. Affects all of us. Even today. With alcohol and drugs, with gambling, with adultery and divorce. We deal with the same issues today. When it comes down to it, this is just a sign on some church building. I have no idea where, by the way. But government making sin legal does not make it right. And that's true. That's something we need to learn. I will not stand before a human judge. It's not saying between, party do you belong with? Republican, Libertarian, Democrat, think of any party you want to throw in. No, it's not about that. I stand before God. I stand before God, be judged by His law, by God's word. That's what I'm going to be judged by. Because man says it's legal. Doesn't mean it's right in the eyes of God. This book tells me what I can and cannot do. What I should and should not do. And that needs to be the basis of everything and how I live my life. See, this book tells me everything I need to know. It tells me what to do to become a Christian. It tells me everything I need to do to stay a Christian. It tells me how to worship God. Because you see, this book is valuable. If you're not a Christian, God says, not man, God says, I want you to hear. I want you to believe in Jesus Christ. I want you to repent of your sins. I want you to confess the name of Christ before men. I want you to be baptized. And then I want you to remain faithful all your days. God also says, I want you to come and worship me on the first day of the week. I want you to partake of the Lord's Supper. I want you to give, as we've done today. I also want you to sing. I want you to speak my word. So God lays everything out. He talks about what we do as we go through our everyday lives. He talked about a father and a husband, a wife, a child, a master or a servant, whatever the situation is. God lays it out and tells us how to live our lives. Because man says one thing, doesn't necessarily make it right. In the end, I stand before God. That's what matters. If you need help, please make that known as well. So if you're in this audience, you need to become a Christian, repent of some sin, since you've been a Christian, you can come right now as we stand, as we sing.